Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Amen, amen. Good to be home. I hope you've come to expecting a miracle, expecting a blessing. Good to see each and every one of you. All the visitors, we're just glad that you're with us today. And who come to praise the Lord? Amen. So good to be in the house of God. Amen. George Ann's pretty smile back there. Hallelujah. I know you are, girl. Well, I'm going to do an old song for you, the prayer meeting song. Now, to sing this song, how about just standing up and welcome your friends and neighbors and your visitors?
We'll walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Lord, walk around my bedside now. Better when I am singing. Walk around. Ah, when I am singing. Walk around. Yes, now when I am singing. Walk around. Lord, walk around my bedside now. Jesus, walk around. Yes, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Lord, walk around my bedside now. Yeah, walk around me, Jesus. Lord, walk around. Yeah, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Lord, walk around my bedside now. Now when I need healing, Lord, walk around. Yes, when I need healing, walk around. When I need healing, walk around. Lord, walk around my bedside now. Well, I don't know what you've come to do, but I've come to praise the Lord. Yes, I don't know what you're here to do, but I'm here to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you've come to do, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on and praise Him. Lord, praise Him. I'm going to praise Him in the morning. I'm going to praise Him in the noontime. I'm going to praise Him. Praise Him. I'm going to praise Him till the sun goes down. Well, I don't know what you've heard to do, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Yes, I don't know what you've come to do, but I'm going to praise the Lord. I said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, come on and praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him in the morning and praise Him in the noontime. Come on and praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him till the sun goes down. Yeah, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Oh, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Oh, walk around my bedside now. Well, it's all. I go down to the river. But there's a man walking on the water. Well, come along with me. For I want to see that man walking on the water. Yes, come on, let's go down to the river. There's a man that's walking on the water. Will come along with me, for I want to see that man walking on the water. Well, Lord, 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 I said you sure been good to me. Yes, Lord, Lord, Lord. Yes, you sure been good to me. Yes, Lord, Lord, Lord. Yes, you sure been good to me. You have done what this world cannot do. saved my soul from hell. Yes, he sure been good to me. He saved my soul from hell. Lord, you sure been good to me. Yes, you saved my soul from hell. Oh, you sure been good to me. You have done what this world cannot do. Yes, Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, you sure been good to me. I said, Lord, Lord, Lord. Yes, you sure been good to me. Well, Lord, Lord, Lord. Yeah, you sure been good to me. He has done what this world cannot do. Yes, now you have done what this world cannot do.
I think line up the calendar. What God put on my heart for today, and I don't know about you, and this may surprise some of you what I'm going to teach today. You may have to scratch your head, but just listen to me and let it sink in for a minute. Just because I'm going to read Scripture. I'm going to follow Scripture. We've had a lot of teaching through the years, religious teaching, spiritual teaching, and a lot of confusion about things. And I want to clarify this morning just a few of those things. And what I want to talk about is walking in the power of the Holy Ghost and what that really means. Now, we must first know what the Holy Ghost is. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Some folks are too proper to say Holy Ghost because they say Holy Spirit. So whichever way you want to say it, same thing. But I want to talk about what walking in the power of the Holy Ghost and what it is. Now, one thing the Holy Ghost is not. Now, I want you to follow me here. There are expressions that come from the Holy Ghost. Expressions such as speaking in tongues, such as shouting or dancing, praising God, feeling good, moving in the Spirit. Those are expressions of the Holy Ghost. But that is not what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. That's not the Holy Ghost. I want you to follow me here. The Holy Ghost is not shouting. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is this. It is simply this. It is God living inside of you. That's the Holy Ghost. It is God living inside of you. Now, we have many expressions of that, and I love to celebrate. And I've been in services where God moved, and I've danced in the Spirit, and I love those services, and I love those times we can lose ourselves in worship. But there's been a confusing element to this. There are some that feel that if they don't act that certain way, they don't have the Holy Ghost. Did you know that there are other evidences of the Holy Ghost other than speaking in tongues? There's other evidences. There are people that I've never heard speak a word in a spiritual language that I know was empowered with the Holy Ghost. Here's how you know. Here what the Holy Ghost is. And we're going to read this in just a minute. I just want to lay a foundation. The Holy Ghost brings you power. Power. Power to speak the word. Power to live in the word. Power to lay your hands on something and command it to be changed. Not because you talk in a different language, but because the God inside of you is doing that on your behalf. Walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, there are many of you that tell me, and I know when it's happened, I can feel it because all of a sudden I'm preaching something I had no idea I was going to preach. That when I'm preaching, you see the difference of when the Holy Ghost takes over. I'm not preaching in tongues. I'm preaching in the authority of Christ. And that's what the Holy Ghost is. When Peter and John walked by the lame man at the gate, remember that? He was begging of alms. And he said, "Do you have any money for me, boys?" And Peter looked at him and says, "No. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have I give to you. Rise up and walk." It was the power of the God that lived in him that raised that man and healed his crippleness. It was the power and the authority. Walking the Holy Ghost means we walk in the authority of Christ. We walk in the authority of what God's Word says. We don't just walk with weakness. We walk with boldness. As Bruce says, he may not have a dollar in his pocket, but he owns it all. What a great expression. And brother, I'll give you a dollar at church. If everybody gave Bruce a dollar, he'd have probably $100. How bad day. But we do own it all because Christ lives within me. Whenever I gave my heart to the Lord and I became truly born again, Jesus came to live inside of me. And then I said, "Lord, I do want more. I want something more. I want to walk with, I want to feel what people are feeling and hear what they're hearing. And then I know that when I got baptized, came out of the water, the Holy Ghost came in me. And I felt His empowerment in my life. And that power, you know what the Holy Ghost has done through my teenage years, how it kept me? I mean, you know, Tiffany's bad influence, and yet I said, Satan, get behind me. I had to let the Holy Ghost lead my life, not Tiffany lead my life. I'm just playing. Tiffany wouldn't tell me the time of day. Anyway, too hung up on Lewis. Anyway, through my teenage years, it wasn't speaking in tongues that gave me the power. It was relying on the Holy Ghost in me that caused me not to go with that certain girl. I don't care how hot she looked. She might have been hot to drop, but you know what? I knew I couldn't touch that. Did I want to? Yeah. But could I? Mm-mm. Because every time I would try to touch the stove, I'd get burnt by the Holy Ghost. You don't belong in that situation, son. How many times I got invited to parties that I turned down? I wasn't a loser in high school. I wasn't a nerd. I could have been the coolest guy in 89. Tiffany, I could have been the coolest guy in 89. Y'all saw me at Carowinds, right? Can I be fun? No alcohol, no crack, no pot. I can be fun. But the Holy Ghost is what kept me. The power of the Holy Ghost kept me from making those decisions and running with those guys and running with those girls and going to those places. The Holy Ghost kept me from lying to my parents and sneaking away from my parents and doing things they didn't know about. And I did some things. I'm not saying I didn't do everything perfect. But I'm just saying there were things I could not do to my parents. And it wasn't because they caught me. I heard a preacher this morning I thought it was great talking about repentance, how people don't understand what true repentance is. Some people only apologize when they get caught. You know, a man cheats with his wife. Oh, honey, I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm so sorry. They're not sorry. You've done it for 32 years. You're sorry you got caught after 3 decades. See, true repentance calls you to change because you're sorry because you disobeyed God and you've dishonored God, not because you didn't get caught. You know, I don't steal a candy bar at Walmart. How many of us know every one of us could go in and steal a candy bar from Walmart and not get caught? That'd be so easy, right? I mean, that's easy. I mean, some people steal TVs at Walmart and get away with it. Somebody brought a big screen TV back to Walmart one time, and they put bricks in it, took the TV out, put bricks in it, sealed it back up, and the clerk, I don't guess, even checked it and took it back, got her full refund for bricks and the TV. It's not easy, it's not hard to get away with stealing, far as the actual thing. But for a Christian, we don't think that way, do we? I mean, I'm telling you. It doesn't matter about the value, whether it's a 25-cent gummy worm or a $4,000 television set. The concept's the same. A person that's filled with the Holy Ghost, that's walking in God's power, is not going to do those things. Not because he'll get caught, but because it dishonors God, and we know God sees all that we do, whether mom or daddy sees it or not. We know God sees it. We know God sees every act, every thought, and man, that is scary. I wish sometimes I could turn my mind off, don't you? God, I'm going to, remember on in the old days where we had all the TV channels, if you watch TV real late, what would happen at the end of the night? Rainbow Channel. They ran out of stuff to put on TV. When that came on, if you were still up, you were a bad person because you should have been in bed. They didn't have all night TV. I sometimes wish I could do that with God. Don't you block out that when you thought bad thoughts, hey God, hang on. You don't see this. But he does see it, and we can't hide from that, and we can't deny that. But the Holy Ghost is the presence of God living inside of us. And if we understand it's not about all the external displays of worship, those are expressions of serving God, absolutely. But there are so many, and I've been in churches and I've been in teachings that teach that. That man, if you ain't shouting and dancing and if you ain't doing all this stuff, then you ain't really got it. Church, I know I've got Jesus. I know I've got him inside of me because he keeps me every single day. I feel his convicting power, his loving power, his guiding power, his teaching power. I can feel his presence overwhelm me when I pray sometimes or when I sing or when I worship or when I preach, I feel the anointing of God. I know he's in me. But are we walking in that power of the Holy Ghost, or are we walking by the flesh? Let's read John. If you found John, I'll tell you a chapter. John 14. Let's see what Jesus says. Then we're going to skip over to Acts 1. John 14, this is what Jesus says. We're going to read verse 17 and 18 and then 26. John 14. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let's actually start with verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The word Comforter translates into helper. Helper. God's going to give us a helper, and we know we all need help. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, talking to His disciples, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or helpless. I will come to you. Now look at verse 26. This tells exactly what the Holy Ghost is. I mean, exactly. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. The Comforter, the Helper, which is. So what's the Holy Ghost? It's the Comforter. It's the Helper. It's the Spirit of God inside of us. That's the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God in us. I love worship. Church, I love worship. I love praise, and I love to see God move. I love when the anointing is so strong in this place that my hands are shaking under the power of God. I love it when people are slain in the Spirit and when they're overwhelmed. And I want to tell you, people make fun of those things and talk about those things. Don't talk about it unless you've experienced it. You can't deny it if you ever experience it. People say, why does God do that? It just looks foolish. Well, you know what I think looks foolish? People at a racetrack with their shirts off, drunk and throwing chicken bones at each other and cussing and yelling and screaming over a guy they'll never meet and never know and never get a dime from. I mean, don't that look kind of stupid? Now, I like sports, but it looks stupid, don't it? I mean, you see the football games. You go to see a Raider game. They're dressed in their black and gray, tongues hanging out, and they got all, I mean, you know, I mean, screaming and yelling. I mean, really, but if anything in the Spirit of God happens that way, that's weird. You just went to a concert last night where women's throwing their bras to the rock stars. You think this is weird? Hello? Y'all know what I've been? Some of you been there. You might have been there last night. You know what I'm talking about. But when it comes to things of God, it's weird. I have been so overwhelmed by the presence of God. And what happens, let me explain what happens when that happens. Because if you never experienced it, you don't know it. It's the touch of God coming up on your actual body so strong that it overshadows and overwhelms your natural ability to even stand. It's God's glory touching you. There is no greater feeling than that. No greater feeling. So don't make fun of it and don't talk about it. And don't make fun of people speaking in tongues. Don't talk about that. Unless you understand it, you don't have no right to talk about it. You may not agree with it, but you hadn't experienced it either. And when you experience it, you know it's real. So these things are real, but don't mistake these things for the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, us speaking in tongues to somebody is not going to scare, is not going to resolve the problem. It's walking in the power and the wisdom of God's Word that moves mountains. It's walking in that authority, realizing who I am in Christ Jesus. I am an ambassador for Christ, which means I represent Him. All power was given to Jesus in heaven and earth. All power is given to Him. Now that power lives inside of us. I love how people will say, I'm a Christian, yeah, I've got the Holy Spirit, but they don't walk in any power. How can you believe you got the Holy Spirit and not walk in no power? Man, God's in you. Jesus lives inside of you. It's not a tabernacle or this church building. He's not in these walls. He's in these walls. He lives in us. We've got God. So when trials come, what do? We ought to speak the Word of God. When tribulation comes, we speak the Word of God. When Satan raises his head, we say, you're a liar from hell. The Holy Ghost in me tells me you're a liar, and I will not listen to you or bow to you or be defied by you. You can't have my joy or my peace or my home or my kids or my husband or my job. You can't have it because the Holy Ghost says, I am God's child, and I stand on that authority by God's Word. When the Holy Ghost rises up, we walk in power and victory. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's power. Man, it's power. It's authority. This is why the demons tremble with someone that's really been empowered with the Holy Ghost, not just playing church. I'll sing a little dead song and I'll clap a little dead hand, but I don't really have no power. Devil ain't scared of that. What he's scared of is someone with fire in their eyes. My friend, I had a friend of mine shared a story with me, and he's a minister now. And years ago, he was involved in witchcraft, heavy witchcraft. Done things he said, I can't even tell you I've done in the past. He went to revival service one time. He sat in the very back row. He went because people was just begging him. He finally just went. He said, really, I went to cause trouble is what I went to do. Now, y'all don't believe this. You think maybe I'm a little protective of this flock, and maybe sometimes I'm too. But believe me, people will come into the church with one purpose, to destroy it. If the shepherd not on the watch, church, we're in trouble. So sometimes you'll see folks here for a while, sometimes they go, and not everybody's bad, not saying that, but sometimes there's a reason they're gone. And you don't need to know that. I mean, I don't go over and blast nobody, but there's a reason sometimes they're gone. So just know you got a shepherd on the watch. This friend of mine went and sat in the back row. He was involved in witchcraft. I mean, he cast spells. I mean, he hurt people. I mean, he was involved, deeply involved. And if you don't think witchcraft's a real thing, it is, even today. I'm not talking about the good witch of the East. And I want to tell you this. There are no good witches. You understand that? There's no good witches. Harry Potter's not a good witch. There's no good witches. Witches are from the devil. It's from the dark side. I was flipping through a TV and the Harry Potter scene was on. I happened to stop on it a minute. Just a few weeks ago, one of them was on. And it showed a scene that gave me chills up my spine. I felt a demon walk in my room. I turned it immediately. We don't play with stuff like that, church. We don't play with it. We just don't start it. Anyway, he sat on the back row. And you know what he said? He says, when that preacher started preaching, I knew I was in trouble. He said, I saw fire in his eyes. What was he talking about? The Holy Ghost. But I felt that right there just saying that. See, somebody that has the Holy Ghost has fire in their eyes. They're not going to back down because they know that they have authority. Now listen to me. Has authority over every demon that lives in dark places. The devil and all of his legions cannot overtake those that are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They just can't do it. And they know that. That's why they tremble when somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost walks in. They don't care how many preachers preach a good sermonette about this and that and how to have more money and how to drive a Cadillac and how to be happy every day of your life. They ain't scared of that. But when someone preaches that your chains can be loosed forevermore by every dark sin that's tried to place you there, and at one moment of the name of Jesus, every demon shakes and they're like, oh no, he's preaching Jesus. He's preaching the blood. He's preaching the kingdom of God. I can't stand before that because that's what crushed my head. You know what's prophesied in the very beginning in Genesis, remember? The seed shall crush the head. And Jesus came forth to crush the head of the enemy, and he did. That was prophesied 6,000 years before, or 4,000 years before it happened. And that's what destroyed the enemy, was Jesus. No other message but Jesus. The Holy Ghost is our comforter and our helper, and it lives within us. Are we walking? When we pray, do we pray just a prayer, or are we praying with the Holy Ghost? When we're believing for something, are we just believing with our head, or are we really letting the Holy Ghost help us believe this? When we're wanting a mountain to be moved, are we just saying, oh, move, mountain, move. Lord, if it's your move. No, are we taking a stand and saying, you know what? I know this ain't God's will. I know this ain't God's plan. I know this mountain shouldn't be here. I know the devil's placed it here. And by George, I'm overcoming him and destroying his works through the authority of who I serve, the Holy Ghost within me. That's what destroys the enemy. And that's what kept me so from making so many mistakes as a young person. It wasn't that I was all that good. Believe me, I wanted to be bad. I tried. I wanted to be bad. I used to play that song, By the Bone, pretend I was bad. Bad. No, it's like, I wanted to be. I was the only child. Remember this. I wanted to be bad. It just didn't fit me. It just didn't fit me. It wasn't because I couldn't be. I just, the Holy Ghost had me. And the Holy Ghost kept me from doing so many things that my flesh wanted to do. But when I listen to the Spirit of God, and I'm so thankful. I mean, I am so blessed for the woman that I have, that I'm married to. I mean, I'm so blessed to have the woman that I'm married to, that God sent me a wife that was good for me. He gave me 3 children, and I love them all so much. God has blessed my life, and I'm thankful for my family. And I look back and think, if I'd have made different decisions, I would have had a different outcome. You realize that. The choice is still mine. But I waited on God, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, keep me from these things. I don't want to go down this route. Now, see, God got me young, church. I got saved young, and that so helped. I wasn't 18 or 20 when I got saved. I was young. And I thank God that as a teenager, I was saved. All my teenage years, I was a Christian. Man, that helped me. Some find God a lot later than that, and they have a lot of damaged roads behind them. But the good news is, it's behind you. And no matter what you've done in the past, matter to God no more in the future. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Turn to Acts with me. I want to read Acts chapter 1. That's just a couple chapters over. Or about 4 or 5 chapters over. Acts 1. The disciples were getting ready to see Jesus depart. He'd walked the earth for 40 days after he'd resurrected. He's about to leave, but he gives them a message. Let's start Acts 1, chapter verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, Jesus did, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? We've been talking about that, remember? God came for one purpose. It wasn't to walk on the water or heal the sick or raise the dead. He came to restore the kingdom. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive, what's that next word? Power. It doesn't say tongues. It doesn't say shout. It doesn't say charismatic experience. It says power. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. The promise was to give us power. How could we live in this world without the power of God in us, really? How could we live? How could we face each day? How could we get through every trial and every storm? You know, Bruce is about to go through a year of his wife being gone. He needs the Holy Ghost this next year differently than he did this past year. He needs it differently. To guide him, to keep him, to help him, to strengthen him, to watch him. To keep him from traps the enemy will try to set, because he does that. But when we have the Holy Ghost, we got something to lean on, man, that won't ever let you down. It gives you power and it gives you boldness. When you have the Holy Ghost, you just don't, when you know it's God, you can tell it like it is without shame, because it ain't you talking, it's God. Remember what he said? Just open your mouth. Don't worry what you're going to say. Just open your mouth and I'll feel it. When we allow the Spirit of God to come upon us and come in us, it gives us power. Now, you remember Peter's speech? This is after he'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you remember the story, they were speaking in tongues and they were speaking different languages and everyone understood each other and all that before. But then when Peter came out to address the body, was he preaching in tongues? He's preaching in English, wasn't he? Ye men of Israel, this same Jesus whom you crucified is now risen, and he is Lord, and he is King. He preached to them under the power. He couldn't have preached that way before. He had to be empowered with the Holy Ghost to preach that message. And when he got done, the Bible says that men's hearts were pricked. It says, Peter, what must we do? We've heard the word. What must we do to receive it? He said, call upon the name of the Lord, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 were added to the church that day. It wasn't Peter shouting and dancing that won the people. It was his powerful word under the power of the Holy Ghost. This is why Paul says, I wish you all spake in tongues as I, but I would rather you prophesy. See, speaking the word of God is what changes lives. Speaking the word of God is what delivers people. Speaking under the anointing of God, the words of this word is what breaks the chains of people's lives. He said, I'm going to baptize you. John baptized you with water. In other words, you are a follower of me. You're mine. But I'm going to give you a little bit more. I'm going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. In other words, I always lived on the outside of you, and I'm going to now come on the inside of you. What a great thing to know that God lives inside of us, but we don't walk that way. Church, we don't walk that way. We let every storm throw us down. We let every trial get us down. We let every problem that arises, instead of walking in the authority of what God's Word says, the Holy Ghost gives us power. Begin to speak to your mountains and speak to your problems. Speak to your situations and speak to your trials. Say, devil, you're not going to have this. I don't give you permission to take away what God has given me. Some of you may need to fight for your marriage and fight for your kids, fight for your husband and fight for your wife, fight for your church and fight for your pastor. Speak the words of God and fight. And say, I'm not giving up and I'm not rolling over. I know who I am. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been reconciled back to Christ. I am His child. My blood now runs in me. His blood runs in me. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. My Lord, church, we ought to be walking with our heads up high. No matter what we're going through, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we are going to be a part of it. Those of us that know Him, we're going to shed this sickness and this pain and this ill will of the world, and we're going to walk into something that our eyes haven't seen and our ears haven't heard, but we know it's ours. Thank God for the kingdom that's on the way. Walk in the authority God's given you. The Holy Ghost gives you authority, and it gives you boldness. As Bruce said earlier, it gives you rights. We as Christians don't walk in our rights. We don't exercise them because we think we don't have no rights. We just think that what some of us have is mentality. Whatever comes is part of God's plan. That's not true. The Bible says the devil is seeking who he may devour. Everything that comes is not a plan of God. The enemy comes to attack you and destroy you. You being discouraged is never the plan of God. You being in fear is never the plan of God. You being so depressed you can't get up in the mornings, God's trying to teach me something. No, that's not God's plan. This is the enemy attack. Understand and recognize that and realize I don't have to stay depressed. I don't have to stay discouraged. I don't have to stay in fear. I don't have to stay with no power. Some of us that used to pray, and church, I'm guilty too because we get caught up in our world. Some of us used to pray for everything that came up in our lives. We don't pray no more. We just accept it. Man, we wouldn't accept that 20 years ago. We lay our hands on something and say, no way. I defy every force coming against my home. You have no business or authority in my house. I rebuke you and I bind you in the name of Jesus. We used to pray that way, and some of us don't do that no more. We just accept it. Because each little trial has built itself upon us until we're just so weighted down now that we have no more authority. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. And the same Jesus that raised from the dead lives in you. My goodness. I want to really pound this, I think, and teach on this for a while about what the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us. How can I be afraid if He's inside of me? How can I be discouraged if He's inside of me? My Lord, I'm carrying about the presence of a holy God. My healer just don't pass by. My healer's in me. My Redeemer just don't pass by. My Redeemer's in me. My Provider don't have to be called upon to come down from heaven. He's already came, and He's in me. Glory to God. I don't have to pray, God, send your peace. His peace came. Hallelujah. His joy came. His power came. 2,000 years ago, it came upon the earth and lives forevermore, and now is inside of us. So don't pray prayers like, Lord, send me peace. You got peace if you're saved. Just walk in it. You've got joy. Walk in it. You've got healing. Walk in it. You've got strength. Walk in it. You've got passion. Walk in it. You've got authority. Walk in it. You've got power. Walk in it. Right now, begin to march and walk in what God's given you. You have it now. So many Christians pray for this faraway thing, and He's inside of us. My God, He's inside of us. We don't serve a distant God. God is not up there sitting on that cumulus cloud we can see waving down at us, playing a harp. Hey, y'all, join James preaching. He's living inside of us. We don't have to call Him long distance. You see if a collect call from James Lewis? Sure. He lives inside of us. Walk in that, recognize that, and understand that. and begin to apply it to your home. Because the devil wants your kids. He wants your grandkids. He wants your family. He wants your finance. He wants your health. He wants your job. He wants your peace. He wants your joy. And the devil wants to strip everything away that's good in your life. He wants to strip it away. But we have the authority in Christ. We have the authority. Glory to God. Walk in that power. Begin to walk in that power. And begin to stop accepting everything that comes your way as being the will of God or the plan of God. Father, we thank you for this word right now. And stand your feet if you would. Everybody just stand with me. I want to, for those of you that want this morning, I was going to pray a prayer of empowerment into your life. If you'll receive it. Now, only those of you that really receive it will get it. But I just want to say a corporate prayer of everyone here today. That God would empower you differently today than you walked in before. Lord, I pray right now, as these people stand before a holy God, hands in the air, voices raised, eyes upon you right now. Lord, I pray for a spirit of Holy Ghost empowerment. Let it fall upon each vessel that's ready to receive it. And empowerment. Let joy be restored. And peace be restored. And power be restored. And authority be restored. God, just sweep this place now. And fill us with an empowerment of the Holy Ghost. That we will not tolerate or take it anymore. But we'll walk in what you've called us to walk in. Authority. We are yours, Jesus. The blood's been shed. That we would walk in fullness of life. In you. Let your joy, peace, power, and authority fill us now as we stand before you. That we'll leave here different. Our talk will be different. Our walk will be different. Our prayer life will be different. Our worship will be different. Our testifying will be different. Everything will be different after today. Fill us, God. Fill us, fill us, fill us. In the name of Jesus, fill us with a power from above that calls us to walk in newness of life. That caused the chains to fall, the shackles to be destroyed, and the light to come forth. We pray and declare this. Declare it right now upon this body. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all give God some praise this morning. Give him some praise in the house. Thank you, Father, for empowering us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Because he